American-Cuban tensions are rising as over half of the American embassy staff have been removed from the embassy in Havana due to a mysterious illness. The U.S. State Department said that this illness is the result of a sonic attack and has affected 21 of their personnel. Ollie Henderson has this story.
U.S. spies in Cuba are among a group of 21 U.S. personnel that have fallen ill in recent months, causing a withdrawal of over half of the staff of the U.S. Embassy in Havana, Cuba. The U.S. State Department has blamed a sonic attack for the illness. It feels like something out of a sci-fi movie, that a blast of sound could cause hearing loss, dizziness, tinnitus, balancing problems, visual complaints, headaches, fatigue, cognitive issues, difficulties sleeping. But it seems to be happening. The first reports told of a high-pitched sound before the sickness, while later cases claimed that there was no noise prior to feeling ill, and that the sound was above the human range of hearing. To help me understand how this could happen, I had a chat with Professor David McAlpine, the Director of Hearing and Research at Macquarie University.
The sounds that actually can affect us are in the range we can actually perceive. So most of the case of hearing problems, for example, with sound, is because it's in the range that can actually damage the hearing that we need for understanding speech or communicating. So loud sounds in the range up to 8 or 9 kilohertz can be very damaging to our hearing.
Although hearing loss is a common side effect of sound damage, Professor McAlpine said that there are other side effects too.
So damaging your hearing damages you in other ways. Cognitively, there's a cognitive aspect to your body, and your whether or not it's a listening task or not, your cognition is reduced when you have a hearing loss and you're not correcting it. There's an aspect of that hearing loss that's actually driving problems with our cognition and maybe even into dementia.
I also spoke with Dr. Lawrence English, director of Room 40, who explained to me that sound has always been a part of warfare.
If you go back to the early parts of the 20th century, the development of modern warfare is very much about a sonic development. If you look at trench warfare in the First World War, for example, the introduction of things like tanks that had a very distinct sonic signature were critical because they allowed enemies to make their presence be known very effectively on the battlefield.
In a contemporary space, the long-range acoustic device has been used as a sound weapon against protesters.
The LRAD, which is the long-range acoustic device, is essentially a kind of speaker, but it's a hyperdirectional speaker. And when I say hyperdirectional, what I mean is that it puts out the audio into like a beam. Think of it like a laser, so a laser of sound. But it can output a lot of sound volume from the unit itself. Most conventional speakers, like a sort of PA that you might see at a rock festival, that they're going to be able to put out, you know, 110, 120 decibels if they're really, really driven hard by someone. You would never really get that at the concert. Most concerts are generally between like 95 and 105 dB with some peaks here and there. So if you think about the physical sensation of that kind of volume for your body if you've been to a concert, then that's a good sort of reference point. For an LRAD, they can actually output sound up to about 160 decibels, which is into a territory where any kind of exposure for any amount of time will cause physiological damage to the body.
Cuba and the USA have had a long and unstable history. Only restoring diplomatic ties under the Obama administration in 2014.
Relations between Cuba and the U.S. go back, communist Cuba go back 56 years, and it's always been full of suspicion and mutual rivalry and so on.
Dr. Marivi Windham, Senior Lecturer in International Studies at the University of Technology, explains some of the reasons behind this relationship.
It's been between governments, it's not been between peoples, and I think as far as the Cuban government is concerned, it had to maintain that very, very rigid anti-American position, because after a while, that's all it had for its foreign policy. After the USSR collapsed in 1989 and Cuba was left to wander, it really had no ally of any sort. The only way it could maintain any semblance of, you know, being a power in the region was its absolutely anti-American stance. It's like the flame of Latin America. All countries in Latin America look up to Cuba to show them how much you can hate the United States.
This tenuous relationship could raise suspicions of the Cuban government, but as Dr. Marivi Windham explains, the story is much more complicated.
As far as Cuba is concerned, nothing happens in Cuba without the control and the knowledge of the Cuban government. It's a totally, totally centralized system of government. So you would think that, wouldn't you? Because how else did these did this equipment and apparatus get inside the homes of the diplomats and the spies, possibly the embassy itself? You would imagine that. But nothing is as it seems in terms of Cuba. I think any scenario would be possible that maybe the Americans, some Americans themselves who were against the whole Obama opening up of relations or trying to undermine it from within. I know it sounds very far-fetched, but it's possible that it's being sabotaged from within. It's possible that maybe some members of the extreme members of the Communist Party in Cuba who never approved of the opening up of relations are trying to squash it at its birth. That's also possible. I just can't imagine the Cuban government itself setting out to do this because it's too obvious. It's what looks like it is, you know.